This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. So just beam me up, man. Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Monday morning to you. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
That's a very good name.
So glad you're with us. Great stuff with Michael Thomas, Dolphins defensive back. Guy that's doing a ton in the community. I love that. I love that Rise Up program he's talking about. Getting police, law enforcement to work with youth on exercise and academics to create a bond between young people and those that are there to serve and protect them. And it's so important to have a mutual respect on both sides where those in the community understand that these are human beings that are there to protect them and to serve, and that those in blue see the human side of the community as well, and they work together. It's just all about mutual respect and understanding where the other people are coming from. And I just love that program that Michael Thomas is all about. So if you want to check out that interview, if you missed it, want to hear it again, very cool, inspirational stuff. I love it. He was honored on Congressional Hill with a medal from D.C., from Washington, because of his work and activism. You can check that out on our iTunes feed. Every episode is archived there, every interview on demand. So go to iTunes and just search DA on CBS. And then also you can watch the whole interview on our watchda.com page. All of our interviews, especially the in-studio guests like Michael was, available there. You want to watch back and check it out. You know, a funny thing happened on the way to the Warriors winning the NBA title. Nobody wants credit for being a super team. Everybody is staying away from the super team thing. We all use it to describe the Warriors and the Cavs. And yet everybody on the Warriors and Cavs don't want to be part of one. LeBron said, "I don't believe I've played for a super team," when he was asked about it. Then Draymond, he clapped back at the parade saying, "Come on, LeBron, you know you created the super team." And now you have Clyde Drexler saying that he wasn't on a super team, because LeBron then had to respond to Draymond on the Road Tripping podcast with his teammates and said that the Lakers in 02 and 03, when they added Karl Malone and Gary Payton to Shaq and Kobe, was a super team. And then added the Rockets with Drexler, Barkley, and Hakeem Olajuwon with those awful smiling Rockets jerseys with the pinstripes. Arguably the grossest jerseys in NBA history. LeBron said those were a super team as well. And so Drexler said, quote, "I love LeBron. Anything he says is gold. But I'd really like to give you a different opinion. The big three was Kareem, Worthy, and Magic, way before Bird, Parrish, Maxwell, McHale, and DJ. Those great teams always had four or five great players. Not only three, they had four or five. The early Celtics from the 60s with Bill Russell, Havlicek, Cousy, Sam Jones, that was the first big three. So it goes back further even than that. To LeBron, I appreciate the comment, but it went further back than Phi Slamma Jamma or the Houston Rockets." It's amazing. LeBron says, "I'm not part of a super team." Draymond of the Warriors don't want to be called a super team. Drexler's like, I wasn't part of a super team. Why does everybody not want to be part of one of these things? You know, like nobody on the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s is like, don't call us a super team. We weren't that great. If you called the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s the greatest dynasty ever, nobody on that team is going to argue with you. If you call the 80s Niners the greatest dynasty of all time, nobody's going to be like, no, we weren't that great. Nobody on Vince Lombardi's Packers is like, I don't want to be called a super team here, guys. So it's very odd that in the NBA, this has become such a dirty word. Now, we know LeBron has played in at least one of these things, because if you don't consider this one a super team in Cleveland, definitely the one in Miami was, because you had Bosch and Wade and LeBron that all connected and went to four straight NBA finals, winning two of those. To me, I think the reason it has become a dirty word is because the super team has been connected and created with that Heat connection, however you want to call it. That Heat kind of coming together out of thin air is where it started being part of the popular lexicon. And the forming of the Heat as champions gave the term some heft. Miami was a fringe playoff team before that. They got knocked out of the first round that spring. And then you add LeBron, you add Bosch, and it transforms that team overnight into the powerhouse. So it felt a lot like Voltron connecting to create a megaforce. And nobody called the Lakers or the Celtics of the 80s a super team, I think primarily because we didn't use that term back then. That term is relatively new. But the super team also comes with a coding of engineered. It's inauthentic. It's an assemblance of talent immediately. You know, super teams aren't grown. They're pieced together like a bed frame from IKEA. And so how would you define a super team? Is it just it's three or more future Hall of Famers playing in their prime? Is it just three or more future Hall of Famers at any point in time? I mean, you could say that the Bulls of the late 90s that won three straight were a super team, considering they had Jordan and Pippen, but also then Rodman and Kukoc. So it's interesting that everybody's kind of distancing themselves from the scarlet letter of the super team. And I think the reason is that, again, the super team has now had a negative connotation because it's almost like you created it overnight. You created it in a lab. And, you know, even Bob Myers of the Warriors, the GM, was on the Jim Rome show here on CBS Sports Radio a couple of weeks ago. And even Bob Myers of the Warriors still couldn't really take full credit for how great they were with the addition of Durant. And this is so interesting. It's like building a championship team that is arguably the greatest of all time. People are like, no, we weren't that good. LeBron's like, that. My Cavs teams, we're not a super team. We're not that good. The Warriors are like, no, we're not that good. And this is so weird. Because Rome asked Bob Myers about adding Durant, and Myers' response had my jaw on the ground. I mean, my eyes rolled back so far that they almost fell out of my head. Myers said he didn't just come along to a team that was going to win a championship. He came to a team that he proved needed him to win a championship. What? Did he miss the 2015 NBA Finals? Where they won it without Kevin Durant? He proved they needed him to win a championship? Was he asleep like Phil Jackson for a workout for their 73 wins last year? Was he asleep when they went up 3-1? And Draymond and the Warriors still contend. Had Draymond not been suspended for Game 5, they would have won the title. So, sorry, Kevin Durant didn't prove that they needed him to win a title. All he proved was, if you add him to an already great team that could have won the title without him, they become unstoppable. They become that much better than even the second or third best team to the league. So this is so weird. It's like Bob Myers going like, well, we weren't even really that great. And then we added Kevin Durant, and he proved that we really needed him. And I guess some of this is glossing their new guy in Durant and making him feel needed and wanted. And KD was awesome. But the Warriors didn't need Kevin Durant. It wasn't like they were a fringe playoff team. It wasn't like they were a 4 seed in the West. They won one without him, and they had a 3-1 series lead without him as well the next year. If they win one more game, they're back-to-back champions, and that has nothing to do with Kevin Durant. And 73 wins in a season. So this whole thing is really weird, and what it says is everybody is very sensitive on it feeling like they didn't earn the championship. That's what this whole thing is about. I wasn't on a super team. We weren't even that good. I mean, we're not even that great of a team. Everybody wants to distance themselves from this very new concept in the NBA, which is it's kind of not fair. Nobody's really earning championships. They're kind of assembling them. And that is the real heart of why Adam Silver is sensitive about this. Because when we go through a football season and somebody wins the Super Bowl, nobody ever says, oh, they don't even deserve to win the championship. I mean, they've proven it. Nobody looks at this Penguins team and said they didn't really deserve to win the Stanley Cup. They're a super team. Nobody says, you know, last year in the World Series, the Cubs didn't deserve to win it. But we do that in the NBA because there is resentment over how easy it appears you can come together and win with stars. And so I'm sorry to LeBron and I'm sorry to Bob Myers, but you guys don't get to make up the facts as you go along. LeBron, you were absolutely on at least one, if not two, super teams. And Bob Myers, you guys did not need Kevin Durant to win a championship. You only needed Kevin Durant to make it completely untouchable so that you guys couldn't possibly lose. And now Clyde Drexler saying the first super team was the 60s Celtics or even before, you know, his squad. You know, it's that we don't use that term with those teams because that term is not about how great your team is. That term is more about how the team was built. If in 1989, Michael Jordan's like, I can't beat the Pistons, I got to go join the Pistons. And Dominique Wilkins is like, I can't get past the Celtics, so I got to go beat the Celtics. Then we would have had our first time of saying, okay, we're building super teams now. Superstars getting together just to make sure they win a championship. But before you had LeBron's seat, and really maybe you could honestly say it was the Celtics with Durant or with Kevin Garnett, rather, and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, because they all came together. Paul Pierce was there, but they had to get Ray Allen and get Kevin Garnett and then instantaneously realize overnight they won the title in their first year together. Really, that was the first start of, okay, let's assemble all the talent of the world that we can possibly get and let's win a title. It doesn't really predate free agency or predate massive player movement. It can't, because that's not really what this is about. The term is not how much talent you have, it's how you built the talent. And everybody is real sensitive. It wasn't so easy. Don't worry, we're not that great. It was really hard for us. It was just so silly. It was really, really hard. Trust us, it was hard. 855-212-4CBS. I wrote a whole column about how interesting this whole dynamic is that people are distancing themselves from super teams. I'll tweet that out right now so you guys can check that out. DA on CBS is the handle. When we come back here on the show, is John McEnroe right in his controversial comments about Serena Williams? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mornings Mothership.
I've been wanting to talk to you, and thank you for trashing Mraz. Nauseated me, and I wanted to trash him then, too.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, the show is fully streamable on your phone. So if you're outside of your normal listening area, or perhaps your local affiliate's not carrying us for any given moment or for any reason, that's okay. You can always check us out on the app. The CBS Sports app is tremendous. It's got a live stream, and they just redid the app, which I love. So you should check that out. It is totally free. Breaking sports scores, news, your favorite columns, and, of course, one-touch streaming of CBS Sports Radio on the app, which is awesome. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. You know how we were talking about how the Big Three league just tipped off yesterday? This is the Ice Cube League, the 3-on-3. We've had a bunch of these guys on. Kenyon Martin was on with us. Rashad McCants was on with us. Did they ever send us the gear? Wasn't the Big Three supposed to send us Big Three gear?
Yes. Apparently they took down our sizes. This was like 2-3 weeks ago now. Don't worry, they're on their way. I haven't seen a Flying Pig shirt or whatever that team was.
Yeah, yeah. I liked the Ghosts. I think they were the Ghosts.
Yeah, this is a bad job by the league. I've already forgotten the team I like, but I know it had some kind of like pig in the logo.
So did you know, so we were kind of joking about this before, that the big takeaways were yesterday, 15,000 people was the announced attendance at Barclays, which I just, whoa, 15,000 people, that's more than probably almost every Nets game outside of the Warriors and Cavs games last year at Barclays.
And the Islander games there.
Yeah, right. So that's a huge attendance. I don't know if they really did 15, but they announced it. Number two, the guys were old, real old, and people didn't realize how old they were. Jason Williams and Corey Maggette, White Chocolate and Corey Maggette, both left their first games with leg injuries. Not good. And Allen Iverson only played 9 minutes and missed almost every shot, including a layup that he took. Did you know that people were kind of clamoring for Latrell Sprewell to be in this? No, number one, Mraz, are you interested in the Big Three at all?
I think I have some kind of surface interest in that the sports calendar is a little dry other than baseball. However, the moment you're playing basically for 6 hours on a Sunday afternoon when I'm out, same reason I'm not really into NASCAR, like people are out doing stuff summer Sunday afternoons. I can't be inside watching basketball.
So you didn't watch the Canadian Football League kicking off this weekend?
No, I did not. But you give me a Canadian Football League game on a Thursday night, I'm in.
Yeah. Okay. So Latrell, apparently, people were wondering, is he going to be part of it? And maybe he was also slightly interested in it. However, he was ineligible for the Big Three draft because he did not complete the necessary medical documentation.
There was necessary medical documentation?
I guess. And now these guys are mostly corpses that are playing, seemingly, so I don't know what the documentation is.
What is that, when you go back to college and you need, like, the shots and stuff?
Maybe. Maybe he just needed to fill out a few forms and just said, oh, I didn't think it was this much work. But how incredible is that?
Didn't try to choke out the doctor, did he?
I don't think so, but we don't have official word on that yet. Spree is 46 years old. Okay, is 46. So I don't know if we needed a 46-year-old Spree in this league anyway.
It'd probably for his blessing. If you saw what happened to Corey Maggette, he's in good shape.
Yeah. Now, Gary Payton, I think, is only a coach in this. I don't think he's also going to play. He's 48. And
how did Gary Payton get to 48 already?
Yeah, right? That's a little scary. You're right. He's almost 50. And I guess Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was drafted in it, but I don't know if he's going to play. Maybe he is. He's 48.
So basically, you're paying for the Senior Citizen Softball League that you get at your local park.
You're paying for Old Timers Day.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's basketball old-timers.
That's what I'm saying. The idea sounds great. Like, oh, wow, I can watch Allen Iverson play 3-on-3 hoops. It's not running full court. It's half court. He can still shoot. He can still drain. And this is why when you hear things like, you know, Herschel Walker could still play football, you realize how idiotic it is.
Nope, can't. I know. People are like, no, I think he could probably return a few kicks. No, he can't. He's 50 years old or older. I mean, he's pretty old. So also, this is kind of interesting over the weekend. Speaking of old people, John McEnroe, who's not that old, but obviously retired from tennis, said in an interview with NPR that Serena Williams would be no better than 700 in the world on the men's circuit. Yeah, I think that that's not right. The direct quote was, because he has been asked whether he wanted to take on Serena in a battle of the sexes match, that on a given day, Serena could beat some players. I believe because she's so incredibly strong mentally, she could overcome some situations where players would choke because she's been in it so many times. So many situations at Wimbledon, the U.S. Open. But if she had to play the men's circuit, that would be an entirely different story. He said that she would probably be somewhere around 700 in the world right now in the men's circuit. And that is patently absurd. That is patently absurd. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Serena would have the dominance on the men's circuit as a woman. Let's just say they allowed women and men to play in the same circuit. Okay, everybody, all genders, all in. I'm not saying she would be this dominant, winning every Wimbledon. I don't even know if she would win majors. But I'll tell you, she is not the 700th best player in the world from either gender. I can guarantee you that. I guarantee you, if Serena Williams was allowed to compete with the men, she is not the 700th best player in the world. No chance, no way. No possibility, no way. She is way better than that. When you look at Serena, and this is why I really appreciate watching Serena, is that you don't have to be a men's tennis fan or a men's sports fan to appreciate what she does. She is power. She is speed. She is agility. She is tenacity. Those are all things that men, that male athletes have to have to be great. And so, yes, obviously, when you're talking about anatomically, are men usually faster? Yes, Usain Bolt is always going to be a faster time than Jackie Joyner Kersee. You know, if you're talking about the genders, is LeBron always going to be able to be a better basketball player than Sue Bird? Or then, you know, pick your great, you know, your great female, Cheryl Miller or Candace Parker? Yes. But in tennis, it is a mano-a-mano sport. And you have, and I guess not mano-a-mano if you have females playing, but you have an ability from Serena that translates to the men's game. There are a lot of men she would beat the tail off of. I'm sorry. That's just legit. That is real. She is that good. You know, is she a top five player in the world if she's competing with the men? Maybe not. But I know she's not 700. I know that. I guarantee you that. I want a bracket of 800 tennis players, men and women, across the world. I know she's not getting knocked out in the first round. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that. So that's just silly. That's just ridiculous stuff. I think it is fair to say Serena, if she had to compete against men all the time, she wouldn't have this dominance. But don't tell me she's 700. No way. Do not tell me that, because that's ridiculous. And, you know, McEnroe says some things just to get attention sometimes. He's that type of guy. He likes to be combative. He likes to be argumentative. We know his background as kind of a whiny, bratty player that was great at times, but also rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But I guarantee you, Serena playing against the men routinely, also if she kept getting shots at male players, you know, it wasn't just like a one and done thing, would handle herself very, very well. Very well. Guarantee that. Because there's just a lot of things Serena does that has nothing to do with gender. It's just great tennis. I mean, you know, there's not a lot. There's not a lot of men's tennis players that can create the power she does. I mean, you know, you look at her, you're like, that she's just one big piston. She's amazing. She's absolutely amazing to watch. And I don't care if it's women or men. She's absolutely amazing to watch. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, a little sound check, your best audio of the day. And it's a sad day in the Mraz household. It's Young Guns Elimination Day and exit interview times. The season has come to an end. It's time to clean out the lockers, Young Guns. We shall discuss coming up next and jump into your phone calls as well. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Get zapped while the sun is out.
Aw, but I love the duh.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, okay.
Remember, you can always watch the show. This is pretty cool. We've got the digital broadcast going on every single day. It's nice. It's like the DA show, but with moving pictures. Go to watchda.com on your laptop, on your PC, or on your phone. It's mobile friendly. Can kill time every single day watching the show. Also, after we're off the air, if you want to catch up on it, it just kind of runs on loop until the next episode. So check it out, watchda.com. Craig is in Florida, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1560. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, DA, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. Listen, I this bugs me every time I hear it, man. I think it's partly because I was a Ranger in the Army, and when I left, they were just trying to put women in the Rangers with the men. There is just no way. It doesn't happen. It never does. What they have to do is reduce the things that women have to do so that they can become a Ranger, but they're not doing men's stuff. And when you talk about sports, even though McEnroe was being a little bit hyperbolic in that situation, he's saying the best dudes, the women can't compete, period. And I think that that's a fair statement. I think you're assessing Serena Williams a little too lofty, man.
Well, I mean, I didn't say that she was going to have the dominance. I even said she might not be able to win a major, but I think it's total disrespect to say that she's no better than 700th on the men's tour. Even you would admit there's no way she's... If you stacked everybody in the world, there's no way she's 701 in the world.
Well, I don't know how many. I don't even know much about tennis. I'm just saying athletes in general. That's why you have women's sports versus men's sports. What do you think, she'd be 500 instead of 700? Seriously.
Well, I think that she would probably be, I would imagine, in the top 100, at least the top 200. Yes, she's amazing. She is a generationally great talent, men or women. And tennis is not the Rangers. Tennis is not football. Tennis is just tennis.
I just agree to disagree on that, I think. But I got your point. I think Serena's an incredible specimen. Absolutely. Very gifted woman. And you know, from the back, you might not even know she's a woman. But she's hardcore. But I think that's how good the men's tennis or men's sports are when you're even in the first 300.
Yeah, but Serena might be the greatest female tennis player ever. You know, this is not like you're just taking like Anna Kournikova. You're not just taking one female tennis player and saying, where would she rank? We're talking about the greatest female tennis player of all time. Arguably the greatest of all time. I mean, Navratilova's in there, but, you know, maybe she is the greatest. And like I said, look, there is power and there is speed and there is a lot of thing in the men's side of things that it's very hard for women to be able to match physically. But Serena can. Now, again, I'm not saying she's going to win majors. I'm not saying she's going to win the French Open every year. I'm not saying she's going to win Wimbledon every year. But you can't tell me that if you ranked every tennis player in the world right now, men or women, that Serena Williams is not a top 200 tennis player in the world, men or women. You can't sell me on that. And I would have to think top 100. Now, I'd have to really look at the top 100 men and really ask myself, do I think that against Rafael Nadal or Roger Federer that you would have Serena dominate them? No. Would she win? Maybe not. I mean, obviously, Federer's up there in age. But in terms of the greatest tennis players in the world right now, she is not 700. And to this point, whether she's 100 or 300 or top 5 or whatever you think, saying that she's not in the top 700 in the men's is just simple disrespect. That's all that is. that is complete, utter disrespect. She's arguably the greatest ever at what she does from a women's side. And you're saying she basically doesn't even matter because that's how bad women's tennis is. Like, that sucks. That's just not right. You know, you're saying that maybe the greatest ever to do it is not even in a conversation. Even the hardcore, the most hardcore tennis fan can't look at number 699 on the men's world list and know that person. So what you're saying is maybe the greatest of all time is a complete unknown if she was a guy. Come on. That's just John McEnroe being an ass. It really is. It's just him being a jackass. Dan's next up at Upstate New York, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1430 or 1410. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, DA, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, 1410. We switched formats earlier in the year from NBC Sports Radio, and I'm getting used to CBS and everybody.
Oh, cool. Very cool. I like that.
Yeah, I got a great story. John Sterling.
Yeah.
I loved, I think a couple weeks ago or so, you did a well, Susan. And
yeah. Yeah, I do enjoy doing a Sterling. Yeah.
Well, I got one for you. Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was, let's see, Friday night's game at the stadium against the Rangers had the rain delay, and then they had the game with, you know, Tanaka against Darvish, and it was an epic pitching matchup, okay?
Yeah.
So it went late into the night, and they had to be back early in the morning.
Okay.
So Susan was like, yeah, I'm so loopy I could say anything, you know, after 3 hours of sleep. And she did a 6 degrees of separation story about baseball.
Okay.
And
perfect.
John replied with his, and the best part was it was like a break in the inning. He couldn't finish it. He said, oh, well, Susan, Ken Singleton and I had the same girlfriend.
Okay. Okay, good.
But he backed it up and said, she's a wonderful woman now, and he mentioned her first name. Right.
Okay.
And mentioned his or her family or whatever.
Okay.
And the 6 degrees of separation story of it was,
let's move it along here. We got a short show here.
Yeah,
what do you got,
sorry,
Dan?
That the girlfriend's son played in Las Vegas ball with the pitcher that was coming in. And
okay,
I am the epic fail.
I love a John Sterling story. I love a Susan getting loopy story. And I love the idea of them killing time by playing 6 degrees. And it's also good to know that John Sterling and Ken Singleton are Eskimo brothers now. So that's really, really good to know.
Having a heat wave, a tropical heat.
And you know, Susan, as the 2-2 from Tanaka's delivered low, 3-2, me and Ken Singleton once shared a broad. It was a long, long time ago.
Well, it'd be a 2-2-2-2.
You know, John, you can't say broad anymore on the airwaves.
Oh, that's true. I heard Francesca got in trouble for something like that last week, right, Oak? Sorry about that. Full count, fouled right side, right past the first base side, so we'll do it again.
It was a play.
Let me talk to you about Ken Singleton's bedroom life. He has lava lamps. He has blackout shades. It's a whole scene over there as the 3-2 is also fouled off again. We'll do it again.
So they play in cold weather at times.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to your sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear.
It's DA Soundcheck.
And you know, Susan, Tim Tebow promoted from the Columbia Fireflies. Fireflies actually have butts that light up, and that ball is low. That draws the walk.
Sandy Alderson says it's the right time to promote Tim Tebow, hitting 222.
His recent last 2-3 weeks actually trending pretty well. And, you know, given all the other circumstances, age and so forth, we felt that this was the right time to promote him.
You know, Susan, there was something called Tebowing in 2010. It became quite a wide world phenomenon. They said they did it on the Twitter machine. I'm not quite sure what that is, as the first pitch is also low. That means it's a 1-0 count.
I mean, they're promoting Sandy Alderson's promoting Tim Tebow, basically, because the whole Tim Tebow project is a favor. Tim Tebow's agent is the same agent as Yoenis Cespedes. The Mets were desperately trying to sign Yoenis Cespedes this past offseason. What do? As a favor to that agent to get better, kind of better relationship, it was a make good. This was a favor. So, okay, we'll take on Tebow, and yes, we'll try to act like he's a real player, but they're not even doing that. I mean, Sandy Alderson's basically said, so what does it matter if we're trying to sell tickets? What does it matter if he's a real baseball player or not? And so why are they going to promote him? Because they have no inclination to bring him up to the bigs or to develop him into a real baseball player. They're letting him live a dream. This is basically a Tim Tebow Make-A-Wish Foundation. I mean, it really is. I hate to say it, but this is Tim Tebow Make-A-Wish. You wanted to have a dream? We're going to allow you to have that dream. You know what? You get to play with this low A. Now you get to go to high A. Do you think anybody in low A gets promoted if they're hitting 222? Of course not. At 29 years old? At 29 years old, a guy hitting 222 in low A is cut. He gets promoted? No, this is let him live his dream, and then, you know, we'll foster it as long as it's not embarrassing. And then if Tim Tebow at high A hits 108 and he feels like at this point he needs to, you know, quit the whole ruse, then they'll probably let him walk into the sunset and have like a Tim Tebow weekend. Eli Manning at the Manning Passing Academy this weekend, impressed with South Carolina sophomore Jake Bentley.
Yeah, I saw Jake and saw all the quarterbacks, and I think Jake threw it well, and you know, right up there with the rest of the big names, and so it was really impressed with all the quarterbacks yesterday. They all threw it really well. It obviously showed off from the high schools are throwing it more than when I was in high school. They're throwing a bunch of colleges are throwing it more. So these guys all have strong arms and throw it accurately. So I was impressed with all the college guys throwing it yesterday.
And you know, Susan, there was a story that I actually heard, speaking of 6 degrees of separation. I heard this from Archie Manning's doorman, that Eli actually was given an atomic wedgie as a freshman at Ole Miss. Susan, do you know what an atomic wedgie is? It's where you actually pull the underwear over the head of the unassuming victim. The 1-2 pop to left, and that'll be the second out of the inning. And finally, Derek Carr says in his new contract, it was important not to take every penny. Although, man, if that's not every penny, what did he leave on the table?
We figured out a way to do it so that we have the opportunity to sign the other guys that I think are important to this organization. And that was really important to me, not to just take every single dime that we could.
I mean, again, he's the highest paid player in the NFL, right? So what was going to be more? What was going to be more than being the highest paid player in the NFL? We left a lot of the table here, guys. We want to make sure we kind of keep the core together.
Susan, have I ever told you about Ted Hendricks? Nicknamed the Mad Stork, you would think because he was tall and lanky, very big wingspan. It was his nighttime habits. He actually used to deliver babies from his beak. They were wrapped in a diaper. 1-2 is low. That makes it 2-2. And that is your sound check this morning.
30 days has September. That's what I have to do, April, June, and November. So.
Do we have the 2-2 to chew? That's my favorite.
I'll be a 2-2 to chew.
Oh, he was calling a game with Shinsu Chu in there.
The 2-2-2-chew.
Well, it'll be a 2-2-2-chew.
It's like John Sterling doing Dr. Seuss.
Chew.
So this is a rough day, rough morning for Mraz and the Young Guns. They were eliminated yesterday in the county championship game. That was the step before the Long Island Flag Football League Super Bowl. It was a 21-14 game. Young Guns get the ball back, drive the length of the field with 15 seconds to play on fourth and goal from where? The one?
The 1.5-yard line.
Fourth and goal from 1.5. There is a argument, maybe some debate about what you guys are going to run. Who ultimately calls the rollout pass play?
Quarterback Mike Flood made the call, said, I'm gonna hook it left, left the guy ISO left.
Is he a lefty?
No. So he tried to stack the right side and fool the defense to go to the right.
So he's going
to
throw against the grain.
Basically, yeah. And turns out we ran the wrong play. Everything got blown up.
He runs left. Coverage is good in the end zone. He runs out of real estate, has to throw it in the end zone, and it's an errant pass off the fingertips of one of your receivers.
Yeah, Gills drops off the fingertips, and that's it. But, I mean, he would have to be Inspector Gadget to make the catch. Season comes to a crashing end. I'm crying in the back of the end zone.
Were you crying?
Yeah, simply the best. The fireworks are going off for ACA contracting. It was rough.
Did you really cry?
I had tears rolling down my face, yeah. I had to ask myself, will I ever win an athletic championship in my life?
You thought this was your best shot.
I thought this was it, man. I thought this was it, and it wasn't meant to be.
The Young Gun season comes to an end, and now the long off season begins. Will they add Mr. Six? When we come back, we'll jump back into your phone calls and Wade or Mello in Cleveland.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.